Hello, and welcome to the fourth episode in this series of podcasts on the competition rules around patent settlement agreements, brought to you by Bristow's. My name's Edwin Bond, and I'm an associate in Bristow's competition team. In this episode, I'm going to give a brief overview of what we mean by a restriction of competition by object and why it matters when assessing patent settlements. In competition law, an agreement may restrict competition by object or by effect. This is expressly referred to in Article 101(1) of the TFEU, which, like the equivalent provision in UK domestic law, prohibits agreements that have as their object or effect the prevention, restriction, or distortion of competition within the internal market. Agreements containing restrictions of competition by object or by effect will infringe competition law unless they benefit from an exemption under the competition rules. The distinction between object and effect restrictions can be shown with two boxes. We've also included a few examples of types of conduct that typically, although not always, fall into each box. Now, the distinction between object and effect restrictions is important because if an agreement restricts competition by object, then there's no need for the competition authority or a claimant in private litigation to show evidence of concrete effects on competition. In fact, it's sometimes said that competition authorities tend to favour by object cases because they require a less detailed assessment of whether the conduct in question actually affects competition. If it's established that the conduct is, by its very nature, harmful to competition, then it's not necessary to show it has actual adverse effects. How to identify a by object restriction has been discussed extensively in recent cases, and not just in relation to settlement agreements. In particular, in the recent case of Budapest Banks, which concerned credit card fees, the Court of Justice stressed that the concept of restriction by object must be interpreted restrictively and apply to practices only if they reveal, quote, a sufficient degree of harm to competition, such that it's unnecessary to consider their effects. The court then described a two-step assessment. First, evaluate the content and nature of the agreement in question to determine whether the category of agreement is, by its very nature, harmful to competition. If the answer to that question is yes, one has to assess the economic and legal context, taking into account the nature of the goods or services affected, the conditions of the markets in question, and, where relevant, the party's intentions. The court also held that a finding of restriction by object needs to be supported by robust and reliable experience, showing that the practice in question will generally have an adverse impact on competition. In the absence of such experience, an effects assessment will be required. Now, the Court of Justice has also dealt with object restrictions in the context of patent settlement agreements. Following the Court of Justice's judgment in the generics case, and Advocate General Cocotte's opinion in Lundbeck, which may well be endorsed by the Court of Justice later this month, a settlement agreement may give rise to restriction by object where three conditions are met. First, a generic manufacturer undertakes not to enter the market and to abandon its challenge against the originator company's patents. Second, the generic gives that undertaking in exchange for transfers of value from the originator. And third, it's clear that the net gain from the value transfers can be explained only by the commercial interests of the parties in avoiding competition on the merits. Now, a conclusion that a settlement agreement restricts competition by object can be avoided if the parties can show that the agreement has pro-competitive effects, raising doubts that the agreement will cause a sufficient degree of harm to competition to be deemed a restriction by object. We'll be taking a closer look at pro-competitive effects later in this series, but here it's sufficient to say that, if reasonable doubt exists, the agreement must be analysed using the approach required to establish a restriction by effect. This requires a much more detailed analysis of the actual or likely impact of the agreement on competition. So that's the summary of where we currently stand when assessing whether a patent settlement restricts competition by object. As I said at the outset, this has really important consequences. As where an agreement restricts competition by object, then there's no need for a competition authority or claimant to show evidence of concrete effects on competition in order to establish a breach of competition law. That's all for this episode. In the next episode, my colleague Pat Tracy will be discussing no challenge clauses. Please do tune in.